In China, some 900 million people live in the countryside. At least half of them still make their living tilling the land. For decades, farming has been profitable. But at the annual National People's Congress this spring, Chinese Premier Zhu Rongji spent much of his speech discussing the problem of falling rural incomes. NPR's Rob Gifford reports that as the boom slows in China's countryside, the specter of rural unrest is worrying the Communist Party.
For 20 years, farmer Yu Wenchun's life had been improving. After the disasters of the communes that Chairman Mao forced upon the peasants, Paramount leader Deng Xiaoping allowed farmers like Yu to make personal profit in the late 1970s, and they never looked back. A small percentage of their crop still had to be given to the government, but the rest was theirs to sell. Now, all that has changed. In the barn of his farm some 300 miles from Shanghai, Farmer Yu wearily opens up one of his storage bins and shovels out some grain. The bins are full after a long winter, not because it was a bumper harvest last year, but because Yu can't make a profit anymore by selling his grain.
In the past, you could get maybe 100 yuan for 50 kilos of grain, but now it's only worth half of that. There's too much grain on the market, so we use it to feed the pigs. But now even the price of pork has decreased, so life is really hard.
Communist central planners used to force farmers to grow grain. The legacy of that policy, even in today's more market-based economy, is a surplus that has pushed prices down. Analysts say foreign competition from World Trade Organization membership is likely to push them down even further. David Zweig of the University of Science and Technology in Hong Kong is an expert on rural issues in China. He says that after 20 years of growing prosperity, rural China is now in real crisis.
Peasant incomes have been dropping significantly since about 1997. The availability of off-farm jobs, jobs outside of agriculture, like in cities, like in factories, those have been decreasing. And so the peasant's income has been decreasing. Add to that, local officials have become much more rapacious in demanding fees and taxes from villagers to pay for all kinds of projects that they are now pressured by the government to carry out. And I think that's the mix that becomes quite explosive.
The rapaciousness of local officials has become legendary. Receiving fewer subsidies from Beijing, they now have to fend for themselves financially. Many run their towns or counties like little fiefdoms, gouging as much tax as they can from defenseless local farmers in order to finance their fancy cars and extravagant lifestyles. But in some areas, the rural populace is now fighting back. 2 years ago, 20,000 peasants rampaged through Jiangxi province in southern China to protest against local taxation and corruption. That riot has been mirrored more recently on a smaller scale in many parts of China. But the incidents so far are locally inspired, and the central government is good at keeping them separate, isolated, and largely unreported. In another farmyard 2,000 miles west of China's prosperous coastline, another rural family is struggling to get by. Abdu, his wife and three children, are Uyghurs, a Muslim minority living near China's border with Pakistan. He looks older than his 42 years, his skin darkened by long days working in the hot sun. Abdu's complaint is similar to that of Farmer Yu in the more prosperous eastern part of China. But for Abdu, it's worse. Not only is he making no money, but he's badly in debt. He has to pay the equivalent of $200 tax per year on his 2 acres of land. And last year, he only earned half that in total from what he grew. To make him pay the remainder, local officials literally marched him down to the bank and forced him to take out a loan. With the local judiciary in the hands of the party officials, Abdu has no recourse. He says it's getting worse each year. Not like 10 years ago, he adds, when the rural regions were booming and everyone could afford to send their children to school. Now he gets less for his grain, he pays more taxes, and on top of that, if he complains, he's accused of being a Muslim terrorist and slapped in jail. The increasingly dire experience of peasants like these reflect a major change in Chinese society as the cities become wealthier. David Zweig says the Communist Party's priorities are changing dramatically.
I think that in this new world of WTO, of high tech, of globalization, that the party is trying to reposition itself with a new social base, and that's the social base of capitalists, social base of entrepreneurs, social base in the urban sectors, and that it's jettisoning and giving up to a certain extent the workers and the peasants who were the core base of its power for the last 50 years.
That is a tectonic shift in Chinese politics, but one fraught with risks for the Communist Party, which knows very well that Chairman Mao himself came to power more than 50 years ago through a peasant revolution. The question is, will the increasingly beleaguered peasantry, after its brief period in the spotlight, put up with being relegated again to its centuries-old role at the bottom of the social pile? Or will the growing tide of rural unrest spread as peasant anger increases? David Zweig says that all depends on how the party deals with the problem and whether it's prepared to expand its experiments with grassroots democracy, whereby some village leaders are now elected, so increasing the accountability of local government.
What most of us are looking for is greater democracy in the countryside. The party has been willing to allow village elections, which is the lowest level of rural administration. They've allowed villagers to directly elect their local officials, but they have not been willing to allow villagers to elect township officials. Township is the lowest level of the formal government, and many of us are sitting and watching this because this is the route, the potential for solving a lot of the problems, and in fact, the first strong steps, big steps towards democratization in China.
Of all the staggering paradoxes of modern China, they don't come much bigger than this: that to prevent an explosion of rural unrest and thus hold on to power, the Communist Party needs to democratize. But if it democratizes, of course it loses its grip on power. Rob Gifford, NPR News, Eastern China.